And in the alcohol department, we got beers this week from Streetside Brewing out of Cincinnati, Ohio.
Love it. If you're listening on KZFR 90.1 FM, we hope you're having a fantastic Thursday evening. And I do hate to make it worse, but I got to tell you that unfortunately, you will not be hearing our episode today in its entirety. You're only going to get the first beer review and the spoiler-free portion of our discussion of Lightyear.
Yeah, but Max, if they wanted to hear the full conversation, which includes spoilers for Lightyear and a review of the second beer from Streetside Brewing, our Hot and Bothered segment, and so much more, where would they go?
Lots of places, dude. They go to Spotify. They could go to SoundCloud, of course, Stitcher, obviously Apple Podcasts, pretty much anywhere that podcasts are found. You can also check out our website, freshhopcinema.com. We drop new episodes every single Friday morning at 7 a.m. And hey, if you like the show, honestly, just take a second. Feel free to leave us a 5-star rating and or a review if you're a bit of a wordsmith. I know you can leave written reviews on Apple Podcasts and let us know that you did. We really appreciate that sort of thing. For all your social media needs, you can find the show on Instagram at @fresh_hop_cinema. You can find us on Letterboxd for film reviews. You can find us on Untappd for beer reviews. And both of those are at Fresh Hop Cinema. And like I said, you could just also check out our website, www.freshhopcinema.com. With our housekeeping out of the way, sir, let's get into beers. You said Streetside Brewing. I don't know what that is. Tell me.
Streetside Brewing out of Cincinnati, Ohio. From their website, let's read a little bit about them. In November 1788, the intersection of a dream and a pioneering spirit ignited Benjamin Stites and 26 others to found the settlement of Columbia along the banks of the Ohio near the Little Miami River. Now known as Columbia Tusculum, Streetside Brewery is proud to be rooted in Cincinnati's oldest neighborhood. With the same industrious energy, the Hickey family, Streetside Brewery founders, and residents of Columbia Tusculum, strives to provide a down-to-earth experience with a selection of exceptional craft beer that's as diverse and original as the community they serve. Streetside Brewery runs the gamut from IPAs and wheats to lagers and stouts to specialty beers, and they are featured seasonally. The taproom also spotlights guest taps to support fellow local breweries. And our first beer today...
It's called Puckett.
That's right.
It's a fruited Berliner Weiss. It's 4.5%. They have this to say. We at Streetside love dessert so much that we've done our best to make beers taste just like our favorite sweets. And from that union comes Puckett, P-U-C, by the way, our pineapple upside down cake Berliner Weiss. Sweet pineapple, subtle cherry, and savory cake flavor meld to make the perfect combination of cakey, pineapple-y goodness. This seems like something that could be too sweet and also something that might have been stronger in alcohol. Hearing that description, my brain goes to something that might be like an 8 or 9%, like double dessert, like some type of like kettle sour.
Yeah, right.
But that's not what this is. And we've both now had a taste. What's your initial impression? Like, don't even give me anything technical. Like, what, just your feelings.
Man, it's cake battery. It's very battery. I've had cake batter like ice cream before, and yeah, it's slapping like cake batter and frosting.
How do you feel?
Concerned that it has lactose in it.
Oh shoot! Okay.
But overall, I'm conflicted because it's not nearly as sweet as I thought it was going to be. Like, I don't know if this is sweet enough,
dude. So okay, to answer my own question, I am in love with this.
Yeah,
I do think it's sweet, but it is more like cake battery, like you're saying, than fruity. There's certainly some pineapple there, but this is super, super cakey.
Yeah, it's cakey. It's like yellow cake.
Yeah, it really is.
Like exactly.
I'm also scanning the can. I'm sure you already did this, but I'm just looking for any mention of lactose because as maybe new listeners don't know, you are lactose intolerant.
Yeah. Usually if I know that a beer has lactose, I'll just take some pills.
Sure.
It's all good. Didn't think about it for this one.
Yeah, I think, I don't know, man. I don't know that I'm so... attached to the idea that it might have lactose. It tastes not quite that creamy to me.
Yeah.
And granted, it doesn't always add creaminess. Sometimes just objective sweetness. But even then, I'm like, no, I don't think this is probably lactose heavy or at all.
Well, and I looked it up on their website where we got all the tasting info, and there was no mention of it. And usually people are pretty good about that.
Yeah.
As it is kind of an allergen.
Totally. So. And the key would be to find one on their website that does have lactose so we could prove like, oh yeah, they put it in the description.
Totally.
Dude, this is super, super good.
Yeah. Pleasant surprise. Almost gets, instead of pineapple, I'm a little bit lemony. Like there's just that subtle citrus.
Oh, like, interesting.
It's just vaguely citrus tart. But on the nose, it is straight up like cake batter.
Yeah, there's almost no fruit on the nose.
It smells so good.
Granted, I actually sipped it before I smelled it today. And now going, so like maybe my tongue is just overwhelmed by the flavor that I can't pick up the fruitiness on my nose anymore. But I agree, smelling it now, it's like completely cake batter, the cake batter ice cream, or just, I guess, probably cake batter normally.
The actual cake batter, yeah.
There's an artificiality to cake batter or like birthday cake ice cream mm-hmm. that isn't there with traditional cake batter,
yeah.
which I think is more similar to what I'm getting here.
The artificial?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Like in an ice cream or like, no, that's probably the best example.
Yeah, like when something's like cake flavored and it's just got a ton of vanilla in it,
yeah.
that kind of thing.
Yes.
Yeah. But still, I mean, knowing that it's pineapple upside down and then smelling it, you can find it all.
Like, for sure.
At first, I would have just said cake batter and sweet and vanilla, but you smell it again, you're like, oh yeah, mm-hmm. there's a pineapple. It smells like pineapple yeah, upside down sure. cake.
Let's talk can, dude.
So good.
It's so great. Yeah, it's not quite Pac-Man. It's some demonized sort of tweaked version. It's a cake.
It's copyright proof.
Friendly.
Yeah, copyright friendly Pac-Man shaped like a pineapple. Like a wow.
Pineapple upside down cake.
That.
You're right.
Words are hard.
And there's almost like a Pac-Man-esque level around him with the dots and yeah. the corners, but it's all kind of jumbled.
It's just vague enough to give you the idea.
Subconsciously, like, oh yeah, Pac-Man.
It's the implication.
He looks cracked out of his mind,
yeah.
by the way. He's drank a lot of this stuff. He's even holding a pint in his hand.
Mm-hmm.
But very eye-grabby. I also love the homage to the original Pac-Man text with the name of the beer, Puckett, of course.
Yeah.
Dude, I'm into this. I'm going to have another drink, but I'm loving it. I'm not being hyperbolic. I love this beer.
It's two thumbs way up from Young Max Minardi so far. Well, I like a beer that is as advertised, you know, and when it says it's going to taste like pineapple, cake, cherries, you know, maybe some frosting in there. It's, you want that. You want cakey, you want pineapple-y, you want to have it follow through. And I think a lot of beers say they taste like stuff and it's just kind of like, yeah, okay.
Yeah, if
you focus really hard, if you close your eyes and just dream, then maybe. But this one, there's no mistaking. This is exactly as advertised.
Yeah.
And that scores points just for me, just on principle.
Totally.
It's doing what it says it was going to do. And I love that.
I think, dude, the thing that is really catching me off guard and surprising me in a pleasant way is the cakiness, is like the bready battery quality. Not battery, sorry. Batter-y.
Yeah.
The flavor that is reminiscent of cake batter.
Yeah.
Rather than a battery in a car or something.
Mm-hmm.
It's like got this like grain kind of, almost like a cornmeal sweetness that is super, super good. I feel like I'm often put off after a couple drinks of a traditional Berliner Weiss because of the tartness that usually comes along with it.
Mm-hmm.
And I agree, this is maybe not as sweet or tart, either of those, as Berliner Weisses typically could be. But I'm loving this more muted kind of round flavor that I'm getting.
Yeah. At first, I was concerned that it wasn't sweet enough.
Yeah.
But I love that it's not too tart
mm-hmm.
because pineapple upside down cakes are not.
Yep.
So inherently, to get that flavor, you have to have a bit more balance and
yeah.
a little bit more stability and understating a lot of it. You know, you can't have a super sour Berliner Weiss.
Right. Right.
And pull this flavor off. So yeah, I love that it's a little dialed back.
Where'd you get this?
Spike's Bottle Shop.
Nice. Okay. Were there more left here in town?
Oh, yeah.
Sweet. Okay. I do feel like I'm going to throw it. Regardless of my rating and my enjoyment, I will say this is one of the more unique beers that I've had in a long time.
Yeah.
So if you can get your hands on it, it might be other places in town. Of course, we don't strictly endorse Spikes, but they do have a great selection. So if you can get it, I think try it at the very least. I was looking over their description one more time. The only thing I'm not really getting from what they said is the subtle cherry. Again, like maybe I could go fishing for it, but it's not.
I think it's there.
You
think
so?
It's there in like the last three quarters. It kind of, the citrusy kind of blends into like a fruit jamminess.
I'll give you jammy. Sure,
yeah.
That's true. But from, yeah, I get, well, maybe. Maybe that's true.
Yeah. Because, I mean, the strawberries that they use in pineapple upside down cake are usually like pie filling, like cherry pie or like the maraschino cherries.
So yeah, okay.
It's like an artificial or like super processed, I guess would be the word.
I'm going to shout this out because it's happened so many times. You have picked up your glass and the coaster has stuck about six times. And every time you're like, you're surprised by it.
Screw that coaster. Get it away from me.
That's great. It's our own coaster. And you're like, no, no longer. Okay. Anything you don't like about Puckett?
You know, I would say initially I didn't like it because it wasn't, I mean, I didn't like the sweetness level.
Yes.
But now that I've had a few sips, I think it's very appropriate for the beer because if there was more sweetness, I'd probably already be sick of it.
Mm-hmm.
Honestly, there's not much I don't like about it. It's a very unique beer. I love getting surprised by beers, man. We have so many. It's great to just be like, whoa, this is wild. This is a flavor that I've never had. This is rad. I really am liking this experience. I think as a package, from the can to the liquid to the drinking experience, this is top notch. I think if you're in Chico or anywhere that this is beer is available, you should snag it.
Yeah, my only thing that I'm not completely in love with is the body of it. Actually, it's more the interplay between the body and the carbonation. It's fairly lightly carbonated, I think. And there's the sweetness makes it feel a little heavier than I think a 4.5% Berliner Weiss probably should. So I would take... I don't want to change anything about the flavor or the body, so I would just like a little bit more carbonation. So it's not perfect, but it is darn close, if you ask me.
All right. All right.
Do you have any other thoughts on Puckett, or should we give it a rating out of 10?
I think it's great. I think we should rate it.
Okay. After you, sir.
For me, it's an 8.9.
8.9.
This is fantastic. Had a lot of fruited Berliner Weisses. This one is full of surprises. Flavors are as advertised. A fun new experience that I don't think I've ever tasted anything quite like this in a beer. So it takes that whole idea of, you know, a key lime goza or a lot of these fruited dessert pastry type gentle sours in the goza and the Berliner Weiss realm and kind of just takes it to that next step. So 8.9.
For me, it's a 9, which is practically speaking, basically the same rating. I think it's almost perfect. Yeah, the only thing I don't like is what I just said. I would love to drink this again. It's fantastic. I would love to get more. It's one of those that is so unique. I will try to go. And we say this sometimes on the show, like, oh, drink it more. I'm going to go get some for the summertime or whatever. And I never actually do that. But with this one, partially because I don't ever say that. You say that a lot.
Mm-hmm.
For me, this is a rare time where I will go out of my way. If I see this again, I will for sure pick it up. I think it's fantastic.
Well, you can get more. You should.
Yeah. Well, once again, you're listening to Fresh Hop Cinema, possibly on a Thursday evening on KZFR 90.1 FM. If you get the chance to try Puckett or any other beers, really, from Streetside Brewery, we do want to know what you think, so please don't hesitate to reach out.
And while you're at it, take a picture of yourself drinking and tag us on your social media at fresh_hop_cinema on Instagram. Be as cool as our friend, Lori.
Shout out, Lori. What's up?
You can also email us at fhccast@gmail.com, or if you're enjoying the show, leave a rating and review on Apple Podcasts. Next is a trailer for this week's movie, Lightyear. Don't worry, there's no spoilers in this next segment, so stick around.
A year of work for a 4-minute flight. Isn't that something?
We're all ready if you are, sir.
Well, let's go find out if this...
we got a breach in the perimeter.
Thank you. Buzz Lightyear mission log. After a full year of being marooned on this planet, our first test flight is a go. Let's get everyone home.
Good luck, Captain. We're all counting on you!
Roger that.
There's a star.
I am Sox, your personal companion robot.
We're being pursued by a massive robot.
That was utterly terrifying, and I regret having joined you.
Lightyear!
Let all the children begin.
I can provide sleep sounds if you like. I have several options. Summer night, ocean paradise, whale calls.
No, no. White noise is fine.
Very well.
Good night, Sox.
Good night, Buzz.
Well, if you're just joining us, you're listening to Fresh Hop Cinema, a podcast/show about the worlds of craft beer and film. If you're listening on the radio waves of KZFR 90.1 FM, you're only going to be hearing the first half of our show on the radio today. But if you'd like to hear the whole thing, you can head on over to Fresh Hop Cinema and subscribe on Apple Podcasts or wherever quality podcasts are found. It's going to be available to download tomorrow morning at 7 a.m. So at the end of this, if you just can't get enough, there's plenty more to digest. As a reminder, what you just heard was a trailer for this week's movie, Lightyear.
Lightyear tells the story basically of a young astronaut named Buzz Lightyear, who we have all come to know from the Toy Story franchise, who, after being marooned on a hostile planet because he decided he could get the crew out of peril on his own, didn't need anybody's help. He crashed the ship. He tries to find his way back home while confronting a threat in the form of the infamous guy that terrified us as children, Emperor Zurg. This is directed by Angus MacLean with a story by MacLean and Jason Headley. And it stars Chris Evans as Lightyear. Kiki Palmer plays Izzy Hawthorne. She is the granddaughter of Alicia Hawthorne, who was Lightyear's sort of first mate and I think commander early on. We get into some kind of time travel stuff in this movie that maybe we'll talk about in a little bit. There's also some side characters that are worth noting, like Dale Sewells, who plays Darby Steele. He's a convict that knows how to make bombs out of things and is getting time off of his sentence by helping out on this trip. You also have Taika Waititi showing up as Mo Morrison. He thought this was going to be sort of like a fun boot camp and then is in over his head. And then Peter Sohn voices an animatronic cat named Sox, which I'm sure was your favorite character, Johnny.
100%.
And then you have the voice of Emperor Zurg from actor James Brolin, the father of Josh Brolin. Of course, this came out on June 17th in theaters in America, and it runs an hour and 45 minutes long. Now, Johnny, we are in a strange spot with movie releases in terms of mainstream wide release. And this maybe isn't a movie that we would have picked over something else. Like if Thor had come out a couple weeks earlier than it will in a few weeks, like we probably would have watched Thor. We probably would have watched most movies that we were excited about over this, which isn't to say I wasn't excited about Lightyear, but I don't have the type of nostalgia of like putting Toy Story on my top five Pixar movies of all time.
Right.
Which you did back in the day.
Correct.
Were you excited for Lightyear?
I was. I was pretty stoked. I like the character of Buzz Lightyear. They really kind of took it a more serious, straightforward angle, like the way, as opposed to in Toy Story.
Yes.
Because the Toy Story version is Tim Allen voicing an action figure that is based on a fictional movie that exists in...
Did you know that? Because no. I was unclear. Like, I wasn't sure if we were seeing a movie. And, like, if in the Toy Story universe, Buzz Lightyear was, like, a famous astronaut. And there was an... But no, it turns out, like what you're saying, like, it's a fictional movie that Andy had watched.
Yeah, I didn't know that till the movie started and it said that on the screen.
I know.
Like, okay, that makes sense.
It was very quick table dressing. Like, okay, here's what you're dealing with.
Yep.
I was, by the way, bummed out when it said that. And then, in my opinion, everything after that should be the 1995 quote-unquote movie. But it was still, like, Disney Pixar. I would have loved if they were, like, Toy Studios presents, you know, Lightyear. But
right.
They kept that in reality, which was very confusing. Not confusing, but I was like, you could have committed more than that.
Yeah,
but okay.
Totally. So yeah, there was a bit of nostalgia. I mean, I was 10 when Toy Story came out, I think. Mm-hmm. Was it 97, 96?
95, I think.
Yeah, so I was 8.
Yeah.
Yeah, so I was target audience
for
Toy Story.
So you were hyped going in, or you were like, this will be something?
I wasn't hyped. I had, this would be something, definitely. That's a good vibe. It was... Okay, I'm going to watch this,
yeah.
And no great expectations. I wasn't like super stoked for it, but I was there. I was ready. I went in fairly neutral, really.
Okay, well, how was it?
It was really kind of as advertised.
You came out neutral also.
I really did.
Nothing changed.
No, I mean, it was entertaining. Okay. It was funny when it needed to be. It was, you know, nothing about the plot was very hard to follow. I mean, it was definitely targeted towards a younger
For sure.
audience. So you kind of go into that expecting that, and you don't really expect a, you know, super complex plot and a lot of like deep sci-fi. But the thing with like the original Toy Story movies is they always had elements geared towards adults inside children's movies. Mm-hmm. And that's what made Toy Story so different, is that parents liked it and kids liked it, because there was two layers of humor, that one was way above the kid's head. And that was really groundbreaking, and it set the mold for a lot of children's movies, you know, especially from Pixar.
For sure, Pixar, yeah.
And Disney kind of picked up on that a little bit too. But Lightyear left me entertained, not overwhelmed, not underwhelmed, completely whelmed. It was exactly what I expected to be, exactly what I wanted it to be. No real surprises, but an adequately good time. It was completely sufficient.
Okay. I went in with, pretty, you know, ambivalent expectations. I was like, you know, whatever happens here is fine with me. I'm not particularly fond of the original Toy Story. When we did our top five back in the day, it didn't make my top five of Disney Pixar films. So I was like, yeah, I'm going to go watch a kid's movie with some nostalgia built into it, and I think that'll be fine. I was kind of stoked. There were a couple things that I enjoyed. you know, about sort of the structure of the movie. Number one, they start dealing with like interspace travel and time travel and like the bending and quantum mechanics, kind of. They glaze over it pretty quick, just enough where I can't really pick it apart, because it's like, it's basically the rules are set with one sentence. A robot's explaining it to Buzz, and he's like, I get it. The faster I go, the longer it takes, or whatever, mm-hmm. for other people, which is kind of true, but they very, very much dumb it down, which is fine. I also really like the consistency of the character of Buzz Lightyear, because his whole thing in Toy Story is like his insecurity of his identity, right? It's like, he doesn't know he's a toy. I guess like all the other toys have come to terms, like, we're toys. And he's like, I am him. Mm-hmm. I am the Buzz. And that insecurity and like need for self and others validating him is a through line here, which I thought was nice. And it becomes pretty clear early on, like, he's going to have to overcome this one thing, which is him admitting maybe not able to do everything on his own.
Mm-hmm.
And I, you know, it's a pretty on the nose, easy sort of one note character thing, but it worked pretty well. I agree with you that the movie is funny when it had to be. I almost started crying. I did tear up. I had one teardrop. I wiped my tear at the same time that Buzz did, basically, sort of early on in the movie. I thought that was nice. Didn't expect that.
Right.
Overall, dude, like a super solid movie, not groundbreaking in any sort of way where it's saying something new about the human experience or anything, but fun animation and a cool story and, you know, fun to see all that again.
Absolutely. So completely adequate entertainment.
Yes. How do you feel? I really like the idea of Chris Evans now being in two movie franchises where he is like aging slower than everybody else and all of his loved ones are dying around him. Like, yeah, Captain America, where he's fallen asleep for forever, and then here, where he like travels around a sun and then everybody's aging slowly but surely.
Mm-hmm.
What do you think about Chris Evans as the... Do you love Tim Allen as Buzz Lightyear?
I did.
And how do you feel about Chris Evans here?
You know, it wasn't super identifiable as Chris Evans. Okay. Like, it was a little.
It's not a Taika Waititi voice.
Yeah, exactly. Sure. So, I mean, it could have been an unknown actor that mm-hmm. had kind of just a noble, you know, broad Pixar dad voice.
Sure.
And I think it would have gotten the job done. So, really lukewarm on Chris Evans as a whole.
Okay. Have you ever been curious about Emperor Zurg?
Sure.
Have you ever thought about that, like, more than... What is it? What even happens in Toy Story that we meet Zurg? How do we even know about that? I don't remember.
He's just like Buzz is always talking about him,
just his nemesis, right?
Yeah.
Don't we see him though at some point? And we see him like the second
in
or
like
third
a
movie?
Toy store. Yeah, there's like a Zurg action figure. I believe.
This movie does a lot with that.
Yeah,
we delve into who Zurg is and who the robots are and all that. Was that interesting to you, or was it just like filler?
I thought it was moderately interesting. I was like, oh, that's kind of cool.
Sure.
I mean, we won't get into it. It's spoilers.
Yeah, I was going to say, like...
I thought it was... Sure. It was... It didn't blow my mind.
Totally.
And but it was...
It does feel like sort of the hinge pin on which the movie tries to pivot and give you something of a revelation.
Yeah.
And I don't know that that totally works.
No, it wasn't whoa, what?
There's a movie Spiderhead. Spiderhead, that I'm going to talk about in Hot and Bothered today. Which has a similar thing happen in the third act where it tries to, I think, overly convolute things in an attempt to impress its audience.
Mm.
I'm not saying that's necessarily what happened here. I don't know. They were trying to impress us. But it did feel to me like it was like all, not unnecessary, but no, I guess I do mean unnecessary.
Obligatory.
A little bit, yeah.
We need a twist to have a twist because a twist goes here.
Yeah, which is fine. And I just don't know that I love the way that it was handled. Obviously, I'm dancing around spoilers a bit here. So I won't say too much more, but I think it was okay. I do think the movie kind of falls apart towards the end a little bit.
Yeah, I think the beginning was the best part. Beginning, middle.
Mm-hmm.
Strong first mm-hmm. and second act. Really, Taika Waititi shines in this movie.
Let's talk about him. Let's talk about that whole side crew.
Yeah, so, I mean, I don't think it's spoilery to say that they're stranded on a planet.
Nope.
And they're trying to get back to hyperspeed.
Right, which is so, they're just like throwing out space words.
Yeah,
yeah, sure.
Just basically, they're trying to get their warp drive going again.
Yes.
And they have other space.
Because their like hyperdrive crystal was shattered on the first crash.
So Buzz Lightyear is doing these test flights to make sure it's to test fuel ratios. Yes. Turns out he leaves once, 4 years go by, it's been 10 minutes for him.
Totally.
And that keeps happening, so time keeps going by and by and by.
Mm-hmm.
He's same age, everyone's getting older, blah, blah, blah.
He was not bothered enough by this, I don't
think. It didn't really have the weight, the heft.
This is a deep fear of mine. Like, I've had nightmares where I am teleported back to, like, high school age, which is, I guess, kind of the opposite, except that everybody else is going along with their life. And I, in my brain, in my dreams, I'm like, if I don't make the exact same right decisions, my life is going to be different. Scares me. And he's sort of like all right, well, everybody else has gone by for 4 years. I've been 4 minutes. Let's just do it again.
Yeah.
And like, this happens probably 7 or 8 times. And at no point is he like ever challenged with dealing with the reckoning, what that means. Like everybody he knows basically is getting older and going to die.
Yeah.
He's like, I got to finish the mission.
Mm-hmm.
I could go the next movie without hearing him say, I got to finish the mission.
Yeah.
It's I get that he's invested, but good Lord, dude. Like, who are you trying to take home at that point?
Right.
Like, that's the whole thing. I got to get these people back to home or wherever we're going. It's like, they're all going to be dead. Buzz.
Yeah. You're just good. Civilization lives here now.
Yeah.
All that to say, it's way, way in the future and they're, you know, being
besieged,
being besmirched,
sure,
by this alien robot species. They have a laser shield around the city.
Yep.
Aliens are trying to invade. All that's left on the outside of the shield is this ragtag bunch of kind of like weekend warrior type,
totally,
volunteer trainees.
Yes.
That are super underqualified. So your classic band of misfits.
There's a joke where Buzz is like, are you guys all just recruits? Because he doesn't like recruits.
No, he's
rookies. They're like, we would love to be rookies. No, we're like just bottom of the barrel.
Yeah, we're working on being rookies.
Great.
Yeah, yeah. So that was kind of where Taika Waititi came in. You had him and... was that Keke Palmer?
No, you had Dale Souls. Souls, I'm not sure. Souls. Actually, she was voicing Darby Steele, who is here played by an old man, but is a woman. She acted in Orange Is the New Black, which I never watched.
And Dale
and a couple
Souls
of things.
Did.
Yeah.
Okay.
And then, of course, like I said, Peter Stone was Sox and
Taika Waititi.
And yeah, and like you said, Keke Palmer was Izzy.
Yep. So they were the misfit band of untrained. Just kind of figuring out as they go. So that was fun.
Yes.
Watching anyone Taika Waititi voices kind of bumble around and figure out weapons and
stuff.
It's fun. So I think he added the most solid comedic elements to the movie. It didn't,
for sure.
His lines didn't feel forced. His delivery felt very organic and genuinely funny. So I think he was the shining star, you know, when it came to the comedy.
Sure. If nothing else that I will take away from this movie, I will say they innovated a new way to make a sandwich, which, while I'm not convinced will be good, I will try at some point in my life. But
meat,
for now,
bread, meat,
baby. Let's give it an out of 10, Johnny. What you got?
Out of 10, it's a 6.2 day.
It's a 6 flat for me.
Okay.
You know, it actually might. No, it's a 5. Sorry. Totally middle of the road. And we can talk about that more in a little bit here. But for now, once again, you've been listening to Fresh Hop Cinema, possibly on KZFR 90.1 FM. Lightyear is currently in theaters. So if you've seen it and you have thoughts of your own, you can reach us on social media. We're on Instagram at Fresh Hop Cinema or Letterboxd or Untapped at Fresh Hop Cinema. Or you can just send us an email to fhccast@gmail.com.
And to our radio listeners, thanks for tuning in. We'll catch you next week and every Thursday at 5:30 p.m. on KZFR 90.1 FM. As a reminder, if you want to hear the rest of today's conversation, which includes spoilers for Lightyear, a review of that second beer, Hot and Bothered, and so much more, head over to your favorite podcast app and subscribe to Fresh Hop Cinema. The rest of this episode will be available tomorrow morning at 7 a.m. And to those of you already listening on your podcast app, we'll be right back.
Fresh Hop Cinema is made possible in part by the generous contributions of KZFR supporters and by the Handlebar, offering 28 taps of craft beer, German-inspired pub fare, and an outdoor patio all on 20th Street in Chico, right next to Winco. They open every day at noon. The Handlebar, a specialty beer bar for the adventurer. Check out the Handlebar on Facebook or call 894-BEER for more information. And by Affordable Automotive, repairing and maintaining all makes of cars, trucks, and SUVs since 1996. They're located at 2106 Park Avenue in Chico. Affordable Automotive offers pickup and delivery service with financing also available. For appointments, call 892-1774 or check out chicoautomotive.com. They're also looking for technicians to join their team, so if you're interested, call Mike Button at 892-1774 for details. And hey, if you enjoyed the show today, you can go to kzfr.org and leave us a tip. Have a great Thursday night.
And, of course, you are tuned to listener-supported community radio, 90.1 worldwide at kzfr.org. And it is time for Butte Views and Beyond.